As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show podcast on The Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad today, folks.
Yep.
Brick for Vic. 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 Brick for Vic.
Yo, how I work this shit?
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Trevon Edwards. We got James Edwards III. And we got Jay King. We got a full squad. We've got a lot of show. Some of it's
going to be heavy.
We'll try to lighten it at some point. We're going to play contender or contender, if you get it, you know? Like, are they just conning us? So that's clever. That's a little game, right?
Instead of, I love how you had to explain it because you weren't
sure.
Well,
you know, some people might not really be paying attention and might not get it. And, you know, we've done contender or pretender in the past. Not anymore. I want contender or contender. Actually got that idea because I was just going through a notebook that I found the other night. And in there was a page of segment ideas for radio and podcasting. And let me tell you, there's some bangers in there and there are some really bad ideas. So maybe we'll get to those really bad ideas later on in the season. We'll get an update from Jay King on the Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
But first, we're going to start off with ye old Kyrie Irving, who has really done it again. All right. I don't even know where to begin on this. I think that the reason this is even more sensitive right now is because it's coming on the heels of this Kanye West nonsense, right? And so it is at a more heightened point than I think it normally would be. Obviously, stuff has been building, especially in this country, for, oh, I don't know, let's just a random number, 6 years. It's been about 6 years now and of it really building, but it's always been there. And so I don't want to pretend like this is anything new. But Kyrie Irving shared or promoted, I'm not supposed to use that word, but if you know what the word means, he promoted on his social media a video that is based on books that it doesn't just this was brought to my attention by Amin El Hassan. We were talking about this on the radio. It's not just that it has anti-Semitism within this work. There is Islamophobia. There is disparaging stuff about East Africans. Like, it really hits a lot of different people. Like, it's not just anti-Semitism, but I think on the heels of the Kanye stuff, the anti-Semitism really speaks out even more because it just feels like this stuff is building. And so the Nets came out and sort of made a statement on it. Joe Tsai came out and sort of made more of a statement. The NBA gave us a word salad twice, and it was twice because the first time they misspelled anti-Semitic. Which, if you're going if you're going to, like, that's the one word in there. That's the one word in there you got to get right. anything else in that sense, in that statement could have a typo. But like, so like,
there are journalists for hire MBA across the globe.
Just stunning. But they come out and just say, like, I'm sorry. It doesn't say anything. Maybe I'm wrong here. I'm not Jewish. So maybe I'm wrong here. To me, it doesn't say anything for the league to come out and say, we're against hate speech.
In the Suns organization, I was saddened by it, disheartened.
And the Nets to say, hey, we're against hate speech. We believe in inclusion. It's like, okay, that's good that you've reestablished that. But what's going to happen with this? And I don't have an answer for you. I don't know if the league should fine him, suspend him. I don't know if the team should fine him, suspend him. I don't know about any of that stuff. It's not my job to create whatever punishment there may be, if there is a punishment. But then the shit hits the fan Saturday night after the Nets lose again, drop to 1-5 after losing at home to the Pacers.
With Durant on the bench, Nembhard can't finish. Morris secures it. Irving pushing. Shovels. Watanabe. He got it.
And Nick Friedell asked him about it.
And it's a title given to Christ, Philippians 2:11. And my name translates in the Hebrew language as Yahweh. So I went on the Amazon Prime. I was like, you know what? Let me see if there are any documentaries on Yahweh. So went in the search bar, typed in Yahweh. That came up. Went out and shared it on my platform. That was my night.
He pushes him on this stuff. Kyrie has a little meltdown, a little tantrum as he tries to fight back. I guess it's good he put it on record that he doesn't believe in Alex Jones on the Sandy Hook stuff. Like, okay, I'm glad we established that.
It's crazy he has to say that, too.
It's insane. All right.
That's the zone Kyrie's in right
does
now.
Say
is that he really has to say that.
Yeah, but does say that the stuff that he shared in the past about Alex Jones, you know, speaking out on occults in this country, like, he's like, that's true. Right. So it's like, okay. And then
just definitively it's true.
Right. Definitively it's true. And then really pushes back that on the idea that he was promoting this. Part of the problem is that after all this stuff happens, the tweet's still up there promoting this piece of whatever it is. And Kyrie is digging in, and I don't think this is going to end well for him, but
get back in your foxhole.
Bob, I got a bad feeling on this one. All right.
I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to read some tea leaves here, but I'm sure Jade's played the sound at this point, of the back and forth. I think it sounds like Kyrie doesn't have full information, maybe isn't interested in full information, and just wants to, like, hey, I don't have to listen to you, right? And he doesn't.
I embrace all walks of life. You see it on all my platforms. I talk to all races, all cultures, all religions, and my response would be, it's not about educating yourself on what Semitism is and what anti-Semitism is. It's really about learning the root words of where these come from and understanding that this is an African heritage that is also belonging to the people.
He doesn't have to listen to Nick Friedell or anybody on this stuff, but there's going to be a certain point where he has to listen to somebody in the league or somebody in this franchise on this activity. And all right, do you want to dig in and pretend that you're some kind of victim or martyr here? Or do you want to take accountability and actually have a conversation about it? That's the decision he has to make. I know I'm talking a lot here on Rambler, but like, there's so much bullshit going on with him.
I'm not here to be divisive, so they could push their agenda. I don't want to say they, because I'm not identifying any one group or race of people, but I'm in a unique position to have a level of influence on my community. And
he's being like kind of a clown and kind of a child about this.
Hopefully I'm understanding what you said, and I want to make sure I get it right, because I don't want to misquote
anything. I don't expect understanding from a media conglomerate group that sincerely talks about the game of basketball, and then we bring up religion as if it's correlative at times when it's convenient for people to bring it up. So please just be direct with your question.
And I really think he could use some coaching here to approach this a lot better if he cares about the people that he's offending. If he doesn't care about them, then all right, fuck it. Like, I guess it doesn't matter. But if he wants to pretend that he's an omnist, well, that piece of work that you have put out there, whether you're co-signing or not, you're promoting it. And it is promotion. Again, look up promotion in the dictionary. You're promoting it. And whether you're co-signing or not is a whole different conversation. But that omnist mentality of yours, yeah, that piece of literature, movie, whatever, rips a lot of that stuff to shreds. Hits a lot of those religions that you supposedly believe in, all of them. And so, like, I don't know what you guys do with this at this point. I'm sure that if you're with Kyrie, you've tuned me out, or you've laughed at me, or you call me a clown here. If you're against him, maybe this emboldens that even more. But, like, this is a mess. And at a certain point, like, you're just not that clever and intelligent about this stuff.
It's a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
Just on the Nets side, right? This is everything you didn't want to happen. And before game seven, you're fire. And we all expected with Kyrie, it's going to happen at some point. If it's not the vaccination, something else is going to come up. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. It's a disaster now at this point, and he's becoming radioactive. Like, I don't know what you can do if you're Brooklyn at this point. You're not winning games. You're struggling. He's a massive distraction, and everything that goes on with it. I almost think you're at the point of just cut your losses. Like, I don't know what else they could do.
Like, with Kyrie's messaging, where he, like, 1 minute says, like, I'm an influence for my community, and then within that next minute says, like, I don't know why anyone's calling me an influencer. Like, buddy, you just called yourself one.
This is why when he came out and said the flat earth stuff, people turned it into a big deal. Because that didn't matter.
I was going to say, is that the starting point? I was going to ask you guys.
Who really cares if Kyrie says the earth is flat, whatever? But then when you spread disinformation about religions and stuff that's anti-Semitic and anti all these other religions, that's when it's dangerous and very dangerous. And whether he wants to admit it, sometimes admit it or not, he has a huge influence on people. And this outswelling of anti-Semitism is just, you can see that Joe Tsai is just so fed up with it. If he has a good relationship with Kyrie, if he's still in a good place with Kyrie, he would just sit down with him and talk to him. Instead, he puts out a statement on Twitter saying that he wants to sit down and he wants to make sure that Kyrie understands it's hurtful to all of us. Kyrie's not going to get it. It's been years of him doing stuff and saying stuff and never taking
And it's still promoted.
Like, and he never answers the really tough questions. Someone asked him if he thought the book was anti-Semitic, and he didn't answer it. He didn't answer it. Like, just flat out ignored it.
There's also a part of me that thinks he might not even have caught the anti-Semitism because he's fake smart.
Yeah, try to go for it.
Does he know what it is? Does he know what anti-Semitic is?
Can I chime in on this? Thank you. No, it's okay. You know, yesterday, obviously, they had put out a statement. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I'm getting my days mixed up. And, you know, I felt like it was a good statement at the time. And me and Zach, obviously, you know, talked about it and had open conversation. And I honestly thought it would be moving in a positive direction. Well, of course, the Nets don't have a good game. They lose to the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, Nick Friedell does his job and asks the question. And also doubled down on the question by following up, which was he was supposed to do. You know what I mean? And this was a thing that was really on Kyrie. It wasn't on Nick. It wasn't on anyone else. He's not being pressured by anybody else because, again, I think, and I mentioned on my own personal account about once you gain a following, your opinion is valued whether you like it or not. It is a promotion of anything, whether you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, when you share that anything, it has legs to do whatever it wants. So whether he had, you know, some comments to go along with the video, it didn't matter. And to basically say that he wasn't promoting it, if you share it, that's promotion. That's for one thing. Secondly, what James and Mo kind of hit on was the fake smart thing, right? And I do think that Kyrie at sometimes has an intellect, but I never thought we would be mentioning Kanye West on a basketball podcast. But they have similarities in consuming information, taking bits of pieces that they like, and then blurt it out. And with that, they feel, hey, I'm a free thinker. This is free speech, and no one should be able to, I shouldn't have consequences for it, right? And normally Twitter works that way. Some people really get dinged for it and some people don't. But when you reach a celebrity status to where they are, that's where the dangerous comes in. And I think that's where the disconnect is sometimes, because they diffuse it of like, how am I dangerous because I didn't specifically give instructions to? And I think this falls in the line of Donald Trump as well, because he doesn't have to directly say it. It's people that need fuel to start, you know, to get it going. They already have this mindset. And once they feel they're aligned with someone of a popular status or celeb, that's all it needs. And that's where it goes into the form of dangerous. You know what I mean? So the thing is, whether we know Kyrie and we don't have to look at it as, oh, he's not a bigot, but he's just as wrong. And he aligns with bigotry and hate and those things when you're promoting this stuff. Because again, you look, I mean, it was a college football game where someone had, you know, Kanye was right about the Jews. No matter who that is, black, white, whatever race or religion that was behind that, that is what the problem is.
Something that really bothers me about this is like, he thinks he's pushing the conversation forward. And if he does believe that, and he does think that he's contributing something positive, then state your point and state it clearly and tell the world what you think everyone else is missing about the whole situation. And if you can't do that, then you just come off as anti-Semitic. And maybe that's just what he is.
Well, that's the thing, Jay. I think that him and Mr. West they don't have the facts to basically hold up this argument. So when people come at them, the defense mode is shutting down and being dismissive or trying to end the conversation or over talking. And I think that's where it is, because, okay, if you have facts, if you have an answer for every question, I think everybody handles this differently. Everyone can sit down and say, okay, I'm open to open dialogue. And I might leave that conversation saying, well, he's not anti-Semitic, but he has these views on this. But the fact that you dismiss or you get frustrated, you should not be talking in these lines. If you don't have facts, if you don't have anything to offer in it. And I think that was the thing about Nick asking these questions and kind of just trying to figure out why, the why of all this. And he had no answer. So the thing was like, you're not about to dehumanize me, you know, and it now played the victim versus, you know what? I apologize. I need to be well-versed in whatever the situation of the information that I'm spreading and how harmful it could be. Now, whether the league steps in and Adam Silver has a sit down with him and they decide to have a conversation and he can view it from the perspective of that way, or he can be stubborn and stand on his views and understand and accept the consequences, which can be him potentially being out the league or not on a team. I think that's where it gets to that point, because, again, the league cannot say that they're against hate, you know, piggybacking off what Zach said earlier. Or the Nets can't say that they're against hate, or they won't allow it in this game and then not support it. You know what I mean? You have to kind of double down on it, which, again, I don't think this guy, Kyrie, has hate in his heart. But I do think that he is very misinformed. And I don't think that an apology is going to be enough, because people are already tired of it. And it's been an ongoing thing. Jay had to deal with it in Boston. And now the Nets beat has had to deal with it for these couple years that he's been here, whether it's 3-4 years or so now. And it's getting tiring. He can't go into the situation and say, well, I just lost a game and we only should be talking about basketball, because this is now a part of basketball. You make this a part of basketball.
He's speaking like he's done like 6 years of undergraduate work at YouTube University.
He barely went to Duke.
No. He at least has a bachelor's. He's going after law degree.
That's the thing. He doesn't see it that way. To say that he searched Yahweh and that came up was like Because I'm no, hear me out though. And I'm not even trying to be funny about this. To say, and this is a real thing because people just don't know. So they go searching for things. And as data shows, Twitter's news has been overshadowed by TikTok's news now, right? So we're in knee deep for the next couple years, you know what I mean? As far as misinformation and what now people are being challenged mentally. So in this situation, like you used your example, Zach, that same thing. I do think that he doesn't agree with the entire message, but there's things and he doesn't understand. This is where the intellect that we give him too much credit for falls into play, where the lack of intellect of not knowing that once you share it, it is promotion.
Yeah.
And regardless of you're like, oh, I only liked one thing out of it. Okay, you can't do that.
All that other stuff that is just horrendous.
But here's the thing. He's not saying he only liked one thing out of it. We're giving him the benefit of the doubt. He just tweeted out the link.
I mean, we'll see. Like a conversation with Joe Tsai is allegedly going to happen. A conversation with Adam Silver, I'm sure, is going to happen.
I was saddened by it, disheartened. I want to again apologize to the former, in some cases, current employees.
So, and again, isn't Kyrie one of the main parts of the vice president of the Players Association?
Also, a wild way to start a contract year.
I think it's Grant Williams now.
Okay. Sure. Well, they're
one of them.
Yeah, there's like seven vice presidents at this point, right? Like, there's always like a bunch of guys to represent, but it's just like, man, you're in a position of influence and power, whether you like it or not, in a lot of different communities and walks of life. So,
might be time for an impeachment.
He's 30. You're 30 years old.
Like, he just speaks out of both sides of his mouth every time.
Hey, you guys want to lighten the mood a little bit?
Please.
Yes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yes, yes, I do.
It's time for Jay King's King's Minute.
Brought to you by Jay.
Brought to you by Jay.
There we go.
I've been waiting for this.
Finally, what we get segue to talk about.
God, I hope there's a commercial break in between those segments.
Oh my God.
Oh. Jay, what do you got on the Kings?
they're trending up.
What?
Just got their first win.
No, Jay. Let's start this over. Nah, you
guys,
gotta
guys,
wake
let
up,
him
Jay.
Have his minute. Guys, you Jay, gotta let no, Jay have his up, minute, bro. And then we could trash him. It's easy. Just let Jay have his minute. We'll shit on him.
Keegan Murray has been ridiculously efficient. He's shooting 71% on twos. He's shooting 54% overall in his first four games. De'Aaron Fox, also super efficient. Yeah, do I wish they had another defensive-minded player or two? Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But they just beat the Heat. They're starting to get Mike Brown's teachings. And I just think there's a level of accountability and there's a level of structure there that they haven't had in a long time. And I think those young guys, Fox and Keegan Murray, are worth keeping, worth building around, and having as foundational pieces. And I'm still putting Fox in that group. I know he's let some people down the last couple of years.
Mostly his teammates.
but I'm ready to put him in that group. I'm really impressed by Fox so far, honestly.
Now, when you say they're starting to get Mike Brown's teachings.
They're 1-0 in their last one game.
That, I mean, that's accurate. That's a fact. They are also
on a one game win streak.
On pace for 13 wins, if we want to extrapolate that. And they're 24th in defensive rating.
Yeah, that's good. The beat's 25th.
You know what? I can't argue with that. That is
no. Their defense needs to improve. Honestly,
it really. I mean, you know the thing that screws them up is going with Sabonis as the main big, because at least in that Heat game, and it ended up working out for them because they won. Because boy, let me tell you, this Heat team is they are in trouble. But that's a different conversation.
When Zach turns on the Heat, you know it's bad.
I haven't turned on though. I'm just like, I'm not gonna J. King this thing and say that everything's fine when it's not. When Sabonis is the main big out there, he one is horrible defensively. And two, it causes him to get into foul trouble. So then he's off the floor on offense, right? Like, I mean, he needs to be on the floor for this team to be successful, but they really do need another big. But as we've seen in Indiana, that can be a tricky fit, even for like Miles Turner's a pretty versatile big man, right? He can play inside, can play outside, all that stuff. And it was still an awkward fit. Like Sabonis is just a weird guy to have a concept around defensively.
Yeah. And they're like really small off the bench. Like they bring Malik Monk, Trayvon Mitchell, Terrence Davis. Like they are very small off the bench. And so defense is going to be an issue for this team, but Herder, Fox, and Murray, hey man, those dudes are tough to go.
I'm not giving you my
full. Be a lot of kids named Keegan,
a lot of Sacramento kids named Keegan. Pretty soon, I'm not going to give you my full list. I'll say this: Kevin Herder, top five acquisition in the NBA offseason. Okay,
7 of 8 on threes against Miami.
It was. Shot the piss out of it last night and shooting it really well this season, but. They're going to need that. He needs to shoot 50% from three.
He's going to have to keep that way.
Keep going
7 of 8.
I mean, let's not make it seem like they beat the crap out of the Heat, right? It was a 6-point win. Like, it wasn't like the most.
They were up double digits for most of that game. And the Heat would come back and they'd push it back to double digits. The Heat would come back and they'd push it back to double digits. Like, that was a bigger win than the final margin.
But even
Response after response,
keep going. How many more responses?
Well, if we had another 3 minutes that game, they might have lost it. But yes.
It's just, you know, it's just like, thank God that clock ran
out. That's why we don't play 51-minute games, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I just think it's going to take a while for this team to figure it out. But I think, Zach, your point about Sabonis is kind of right on. It's almost like at some point he's going to have to be a big off the bench. Because you can't just give up.
Bench?
I don't know if you could put that big of a defensive liability on your court to start when De'Aaron Fox isn't that good defensively. Like you have like problems. Like it's almost one or the other. And I think you got to start Fox. Like I don't know if long term Sabonis can be a starter in this. Like, he's got the skill offensively.
Let me ask this question to the group. Would you rather have this like current version of De'Aaron Fox, who offensively has been amazing so far to start the season, or would you rather have the current version of Tyrese Halliburton? And let's like kick contracts out of it. No contracts involved.
And we're joined now by former Vice President Dick, Defense Secretary.
I usually lean towards shooting in any type of close situation.
Yeah.
And Halliburton's just a much, 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 much better shooter.
He's playing so well
from his service in World War II.
Like, he really is.
He and Mathurin are problems.
Yeah.
I don't think it's close. I think it's Halliburton. I mean, as good as Fox has been, you just get so much from Halliburton at this point. Like, I feel like IQ level and everything that goes with it. I go Halliburton.
Well, he was, and everybody believed that.
Yeah, I think I would too. Well,
he was, and everybody believed that.
I think I would too. I don't know. Everybody believed that. Fox is a really good individual player, you know?
Yeah.
That's such a backhanded compliment.
But it's kind of true, right? Like, if it's just a game of one-on-one, like, I think De'Aaron Fox probably kill him, but that's not what the NBA is, right? Like, I think De'Aaron Fox is a really good individual player. I think learning how to extrapolate that into helping your team is actually way more difficult than we kind of, like, talk about it being. It's always just like, all right, time to make teammates better. It's like, that's kind of tough. especially when you've been in an organization that does not know how to win basketball games.
No stability, constantly changing coaches. Like there is an institutional
failure on their end. Look at Wiggins in Minnesota, right? New coach every year. Not part of that was tragic reasons, but part of that was just like instability, right? Like new coaches every year. And it's a bad organization. That shit just matters. Like if De'Aaron Fox got traded somewhere else to a better organization at the trade deadline, it wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden he looked like a different player. But it's just, it breeds bad habits.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Kings talk, by the way, for a 1-4.
Yeah. This is great. This is great, isn't it? We're just swimming in Kings talk.
The fact that we've committed to a Kings minute every episode is really, painful.
Before we get off this minute, which has been like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's been too long.
I have to admit that there was a moment early in the week when I may have texted the group chat. It's possible the Kings are very bad.
But one win has changed you. One win and you're back.
One win. You know what it is, Zach? It's not just one win. It was against your Miami Heat, so Jay feels more emboldened.
Yeah, but they suck right now.
Yeah, I know, but
Keegan Murray is a real deal.
Keegan Murray is legit. He's fantastic. Like between Paolo, Keegan Murray, and Mathurin, those three rookies are off the rip, like phenomenal, like truly, truly phenomenal. And they're going to be extremely fun. All right, guys, let's get to our new game, contender or contender. On paper, but when you say it, you say it with a certain emphasis, it really works. Contender or contender, and this is going to be we're going to start this off with the Cleveland Cavaliers, who Jay, you saw up close recently as they won in overtime against Boston in Boston. Donovan Mitchell is off to a sensational start. Evan Mobley looks great. They've done a lot of this without Darius Garland. Contender or contender for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Jay?
I still think contender. I just don't think they have enough scoring on the wing to be a real playoff team yet. Like Dean Wade is pretty good. Isaac Okoro has defensive moments.
Was Dean Wade the first person you mentioned?
Because I'm just talking about their weakness.
Oh,
on the wing.
Got you. Okay.
To be fair, that was his. Dean Wade.
Dean Wade. The first guy I mentioned is like, it's a pretty big deal. And I love Mobley. Mobley is like, there was one play against the Celtics. He ran a pick and roll, got Derek White on him, just like casually did a little spin move and finish. It's like, oh my God. Figures it out, it's going to be just so dangerous. And Donovan Mitchell obviously brings a lot to them. And once Garland is back, they'll have more scoring than they did at any point last year. But I still think you've got to have like a 6'7" guy who can get buckets, and you've got to have a few 6'7" guys who can get stops. And I just don't think they have those guys yet. But I do love what they're building. And Donovan Mitchell was like a very, very good fit for them because they needed someone to take on more of the offense.
This year, they're contenders. Just because I think it's a year too early. I think next year there's going to be a real problem. But I think, if they can just get just enough, like they're going to win a ton of games. When you just look at, and it's early season numbers, small sample size, they're second in point differential at 11.5. They're in the top five defense and defensive rating, top five offensive rating. Like those are the seeds of something amazing. Like when you're in that kind of category, you're a team that's going to be really high up. I just think, as Jay highlighted, that weakness at the wing spot is going to be what holds them back in the playoffs. But I think regular season, they're going to be phenomenal.
Trey, Cleveland Cavaliers, contender or contender?
I don't think they're cons. I think they're in the middle between contender and contender. They have
the fringe contender.
Yeah, it's like a couple events.
Yeah, because they're on the up.
Yeah,
I think they're on the up. I think this. I hate to put so much pressure on Evan Mobley, but he is very important to the team's success on how good he gets in the next year or two. Donovan Mitchell fits in like a glove, you know what I mean? Darius Garland, they're clicking. They have the team chemistry and everything else, but they need Mobley to kind of take one more jump, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, that's going to be the make or break thing because teams are still good, you know what I mean? Like the Brooklyn Nets, they're bad and they're struggling, but there's that window between 5 and 25 games. We know the teams that are really horseshit, and then we also know the teams that are going, the Bucks are where everybody wants to be.
Yeah. For sure,
that's the point right there, the peak point of where you want to be. The Bucks are sitting alone; they have no one close to them. They have the team chemistry, and then they also have guys coming back. So, until teams get like that, I don't see any team sitting. No West Coast team is sitting close to them as well. I think that the Bucks right now are sitting by themselves.
They're contenders until Evan Mobley Mobley becomes their best player. And I think that's the when he becomes their best player on the court, then they're going to be actual contenders. And that's why I think it's just going to take a little bit more time.
You know what? I disagree with all of you. They're contenders.
They're
really good. Zach. They've got a ton of talent. They've got a ton of top talent. I still am going to mention I was dead on accurate about the Jared Allen contract. We spent 35 minutes at Summer League discussing on a podcast last summer. I think because the Heat look like they're in trouble, because the Sixers look suspect, because whatever the hell is happening with the Nets, I think that door is open. We don't know if Boston's going to be healthy. I don't know what Robert Williams III is going to look like, you know, when he comes back and if he can stay healthy. I don't think the Celtics are as bad defensively as they've been this week. I think they'll pull it together, but you know, it doesn't look as impervious as it did the first week. The Bucks are the standard and they're not as good as the Bucks, but why can't this team be the second best team in the East or the third best team in the East? And that makes them contenders.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen what happens when Donovan Mitchell and a limited offensive rim protector get in the playoffs. They always live up to expectations in that type
of situation. What limited offense? Jared Allen can catch a basketball. What are you talking about?
I guess.
No one's avoiding throwing lobs to him. They believe he's going to catch and throw it down.
A limited offensive player.
I don't know. He could stretch the ball out a little bit. You know, I've seen him shoot threes in warmups. Doesn't look bad.
Okay.
They just replaced Dean Wade and Isaac Okoro. I think they're in.
He did shoot one from the corner against the Celtics. I had to rub my eyes and
I saw Al Farouq Aminu taking him in warmups in Dallas. I was like, what is he doing out there? Then all of a sudden he's shooting him in Portland. You know? Just saying. It's a work in progress.
When was the last time El Farouq Aminu played in an NBA game?
That doesn't matter. What are we reaching? He had a moment. All right, let's go to our next contestant in contender or contender, the Atlanta Hawks, who Saturday night, they were toe-to-toe with the Bucks, and they damn near won that game, and it was a lot of fun, and I thought they actually defended Giannis pretty well. Nate McMillan had a pretty good strategy there.
Is very good on
Giannis. Okongwu can fucking play. He is
USC,
good.
Baby.
He is good. And I love the makeup of this Hawks team, but I'm curious. Mo, Atlanta Hawks, contender or contender?
This one's hard for me, but I think they're contenders.
What?
I was not prepared
you
for
think
to say this.
The Hawks are contenders and not the Cavs.
Yes,
I'm just screaming
that's exactly
with my neighbors
what I
right
said.
Now. It cannot be pleasant on this Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm sure they're loving that. No, I just think Okongwu looks like he's taking a jump. I think, like you said, like they go toe-to-toe with the Bucks very early in the season. The Bucks still without Middleton and things like that. But if they can really just find a way to get Murray and Young to play off of each other, I think that offense has unlimited potential, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. I think with everything we said about how weird the Eastern Conference is, I can see this team making it to the conference finals.
Mm. Trey, the Atlanta Hawks, contenders or contenders?
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think they're cons either. Like, I think they match up well, and they played their ass off against the Bucks last night.
That was a fun game.
I think the refs robbed them out of the actual shot of tying the game. But, I don't think they're contenders either. I think they're like right there in that middle ground too.
Fringe con.
I can't do that for you, Red. We need every swinging dick in the field, and you know that.
Hey, Bob, come on, talk to me for Christ's sake. All I'm asking you for is three fucking days here.
I am talking to you, Red, and I'm telling you no.
It all depends on like how consistent they are, how motivated they are, which sucks because you think all players should be motivated, but like the Hawks have that weird motor. Maybe with DeJounte, they get over that hump and they can play meaningful basketball, you know what I mean, past first round. But I got them in the middle. I don't have them as cons. I do believe in them as making the playoffs and actually beating somebody, but I don't see them winning at all though.
Jay?
Contender.
Wow.
They have played the Rockets, the Magic, the Hornets, and the Pistons twice. And they are 17th in defensive rating.
That's not great.
17th. I cannot buy them as a contender until they start defending. At least top 15. And I just don't see that from them yet. I don't at all. Murray helps. Their offense is awesome. When Trae Young is on the court, like, good luck stopping them, at least in the regular season. But they, you have to defend at a high level to be a contender, and they just don't.
I'm going to say contender. I think they're just below Cleveland. I think Cleveland's kind of like the baseline for this category, right? But I love DeJounte Murray and his addition here. I think he looks fantastic. I think my question is more about Capella's health and whatever it is John Collins is at this point. I like a lot of this roster, but I just there's something not fitting there quite right. But I think they're right on the edge. I guess I'm more where Trey is of like fringe con. Like I think that's where they are to me.
The real question, Zach, is what can they get for John Collins? Which they've been trying to trade for four years. I mean, well, he's the new Miles Turner. But if they can turn him into something. I know, which is even more shocking. Miles Turner is going to be a free agent
Miles
at the
Turner's
end of the
like,
year
why
now.
Why are you on my corner? Like, what are you
That's
doing?
That's how long John Collins has been on the trade block.
Well, no, because he's about to be an expiring contract. That's why.
Right, yeah.
He's just like, okay, I got to move now. I will be fascinated to see what this team does at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Like, it just, they feel like they're just one missing piece away. And I don't even know what that piece is, but they have something to get to try to get that piece. And I think that will be a very interesting team.
All right. Let's move to our final contestant on contender or contender, the New Orleans Pelicans, who I will remind you, Zion's got a hip contusion right now he's dealing with. I think Herb Jones has like a knee or an ankle thing. Brandon Ingram has been dealing with a concussion. They've still been very competitive, and they will get Victor Wembanyama.
Brick for Vic! Brick for Vic! Brick for Vic! Brick for Vic!
In the draft number one pick when they swap with the Lakers. But before they get Victor Wembanyama, Pelicans, contender or contender? Mo.
Contender. You just can't trust the health at this point. You really can't. I mean, it's I want to say contender if they're fully healthy, but I just don't know when that's going to be at this point. We go through three games and Zion's out. You know, Brandon Ingram gets bad luck with the concussion. He's out for a while. Herb Jones is banged up. As fun as they are with everything that they have, it's just I can't trust this. What team are we going to have on the floor come playoff time? And I think that's really the big question there.
Jay?
They're contenders. I love them. I want to watch them.
You sound like it.
Especially when Zion's healthy. I just don't think they're ready to actually compete for a championship. And maybe they go out and make a huge deal because they have a ton of draft picks and they have the mobility to go and grab someone. But
Zion, like Zion has to prove he can be an everyday guy and a defender at the playoff level. And I haven't seen that yet. I love him. I love the Pelicans, but no.
That is the wrath of New Orleans that Jay King is trying to avoid there as he talked. I just want to remind you how glowingly he talked about the Sacramento Kings.
I love
20 minutes ago.
Hurricane drinks, like whatever.
I love beignets.
I'm not calling the Kings a contender either. I just think they might win like 35 games.
How many seasons?
by March.
Oh my God.
The sad part is if they are on pace for 13 wins, it would take them 3 seasons.
Trey, Pelicans, contenders or contenders?
Big love to CJ McCollum and gang, Willie Green and all them, but they are contenders.
Wow.
Yes, they have some time to go. They have some time to go. I'm really on the agenda for Brandon Ingram, all NBA. Hopefully Zion can figure it out because he still needs to learn the game a little bit more since sitting, and yeah, they're going to win some ball games, but they're far from it right now.
I'm going to agree. Actually, I'm going to say contender. I think they're just too young. Next year,
weren't you just going at me?
Sure was. I just
we go at you for anything you say. That you speak, we just go at you. It's not, I don't think you understand the show.
I sure was.
He was acting like I was crazy.
Yeah, I sure was. But I because I'm comparing everything to your just my vision cake of the Kings. You know, so when you're pumping up the Kings and you're pumping up Luke Kornet's dumbass like attempt of contesting a corner three by jumping at the paint.
To be fair, I never hyped that up, but it did give me joy watching him.
Of course
jump
it did. Of course it did.
To contest a corner three.
Of course it did, Jay. That's right up your alley. You and your men's league. But you know the cool thing. You know the cool thing about this, Zach,
what?
Is that all the teams you've listed are all really young teams.
Yeah, they're all really young.
Teams that
really
we can
good,
see,
yeah.
Like we can see in the future, like these teams could be conference finalists in a year or two.
Yeah,
like they're right on the cusp. Whether you believe contender or contender.
I wanted to end this on Rob Pelinka and what happened, but we've run a little long here, and so what I'm going to say is tune in to Point of Contention Thursday right here on your Athletic NBA Show podcast feed. It'll be myself, it'll be Jay King, it'll be Marcus Thompson, and we're gonna rip that Rob Pelinka video to shreds. If you haven't seen it, just look up Rob Pelinka. Chip,
I had so many opinions.
I know I'm sorry, but
with an I though.
no you gotta spell that shit with the Larry O'Brien trophy. That is the only
way.
Do
I have to spell my last name now with the trophy?
100%. I mean, unless you're not a champion, Mo. You're not a champion? Huh? Maybe ask yourself that.
I scored in soccer today, so yes, I am a champion.
Did you guys win?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Whether you scored or not doesn't matter. Just had to say you won.
Like, that's all I care about. What are we talking about? Zach, you of all people would appreciate that. What are you talking about?
I'm not calling myself a champion. I'm just calling myself a bucket. That's going to do it for us, for Trevon Edwards, for James Edwards III, for Jay King, for Mo Dakhil. I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic.
I'm gonna make it out of here. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Everybody gotta die sometime, Red.